Good morning. This is an abbreviated version of Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm your host, Kaveh Mofahed. We had some technical difficulties this morning. The phone system wasn't working at 8:04 like we expected, but that's live radio and we're going to roll with it. Last September, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention ordered a moratorium on residential evictions to help curb the spread of COVID-19 among the most vulnerable populations during the pandemic's height. It's now set to expire on June 30th. That could mean a wave of evictions is coming that could put people's health at risk and upset the economy just as things are starting to feel more normal as infection rates are going down. The New Mexico Supreme Court ordered a similar statewide moratorium too, and the government is trying to help people who are out of work. The CARES Act included a massive fund for paying rent for people who are behind. New Mexico just got about $170 million of that money for rental assistance, and the clock is ticking to get it out to those who need it. All this time, landlords still have property taxes, maintenance, and utility bills to cover. And it's a bad situation for everyone. Today, we'll dig into the moratorium's rules, government aid for renters, and we'll check in with a property manager that's looking for equity in the law. We want to hear from you also. If you're concerned about a looming eviction and you're up for telling us how you're doing, or you want to ask how to find help, please reach out, email us at letstalk@kunm.org, or call in live at 277-5866. My first guest is Maria Griego. She's the director of the New Mexico Center on Law and Poverty's Economic Equity Team, where she helps government make policies for safe and affordable housing. Good morning, Maria. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Kaveh. Thank you for having me this morning.
Yeah, let's start with differentiating between the eviction moratoriums. There was one established in the CARES Act that expired last July, but since then, we've had one from the CDC and another at the state level. How do those work?
Sure. So last March, right as the pandemic was sort of beginning, the New Mexico Supreme Court issued a stay on evictions for non-payment of rent. So it only protected renters who had an inability to pay rent, and it required that if your landlord filed an eviction case against you, you had to show up in court, usually over the phone, and provide the judge with evidence that you could not afford rent. And if the judges were complying with the order, they would issue a, what's called a writ of restitution, but put a stay on it, meaning everything's on hold. So the tenant could stay in their home indefinitely, and the court would revisit the issue later once the stay is lifted.
Okay, the federal moratorium, if it's allowed to expire at the end of June, what does that mean for the state moratorium?
So they aren't tied, which is good. The New Mexico stay is tied to the state's declaration of emergency. So what we think will happen is the stay will be in place at least as long as our state is under the state of emergency. But we also know that the Supreme Court is really concerned about phasing, or, you know, taking a phased approach before getting back to normal. So the state Supreme Court has created an ad hoc committee of various advocates and civil legal service providers who are making recommendations to the court about how best to get back to normal so that once the stay is lifted, that there's not just a massive tsunami of evictions coming through the court.
Okay, I did reach out to the New Mexico Administrative Office of the Courts to find out if they have any ideas about when the state's moratorium might be lifted and whether renters would get some notice that it's coming. And they said they couldn't say when the order would end, but pointed out that the Supreme Court has a history of amending orders with smaller changes rather than just canceling them entirely. But ultimately, we really don't know how it's going to shake out at this point. Is that right?
That's right. We don't know the specifics. And, you know, of course, the Supreme Court ultimately has the final say. But I am confident in the committee that was established that they are really thinking through how to best, get back to normal so that anybody who already had an eviction filed against them, knows what to expect, that they're not surprised once the stay is lifted. that they are aware that there's rental assistance available, that they should apply for it, and that they should, you know, try and work with their landlords to get everything settled so that they can stay in their home.
I'm wondering, when the moratoriums end, are you expecting a massive wave of evictions?
Well, it's hard to know what it's going to look like. Our hope would be that the Supreme Court would require that there be another hearing, and that all tenants who already have an eviction case that's been stayed, that they would get notice that the case is going to be revisited, and also notice of the availability of rental assistance funds. That's so important. The state, as you said, has so much money available right now in rental assistance funds. We've just got to make sure that the folks who need it are accessing it, so that renters who are behind can get that money, and that landlords who, you know, also need the financial help to pay their mortgages and other costs, they're getting that money.
Right, and we're going to talk more about that emergency rental aid in just a few minutes with another guest. Before we switch over, though, even without a pandemic or aggravating the situation New Mexico has with low wages and a dearth of affordable housing, Michael Barrio from the Santa Fe Housing Action Coalition said housing policy is either lacking or absent in most of the state. So I'm wondering, looking forward, what kinds of policy solutions we should be considering to make sure people have access to safe and affordable homes and that they don't get evicted?
Yeah, it's a good question, Kaveh. We at the New Mexico Center on Law and Poverty worked really closely with a couple legislators during this last session, Representative Angelica Rubio and Representative Andrea Romero, to amend the current landlord-tenant statutes in our state, and also amend the New Mexico Human Rights Act. And so what the bill ultimately didn't get a hearing in its last hearing, but it's what the bill was trying to do is really important, and we're certainly going to revisit these issues in upcoming sessions. But New Mexico law has some of the strictest, shortest time frames for tenants. So if a tenant is behind on rent, they only have, once they get a notice, they only have 3 days to pay their rent. Then the hearing is scheduled very quickly, leaving very little time for folks to find an attorney. And then after the hearing, they have very little time before the sheriff literally comes to physically remove them if they haven't moved from the home.
I've heard this before, like the whole process could happen, you know, within a matter of weeks, right? Less than a month.
Definitely, definitely. It's really fast-tracked. So we really need a long-term solution in New Mexico where those timeframes are expanded so that folks have more time. You know, a family shouldn't be put on the streets just because they, you know, we're going to be a few days late on rent. We really need to expand those timeframes. And also, we need to have what's called an opportunity to cure in New Mexico, which means that if any time before the tenant is evicted, actually, you know, removed from the home, that if they can come up with the money owed, they can stay in their home.
Okay. I'm sorry, you have more?
Oh, I was just going to say the other thing that the bill tried to accomplish and that we will be working on is that in New Mexico, we don't have a prohibition against source of income discrimination. So that means landlords can choose to refuse to accept things like Section 8 housing vouchers, even though if it means that, you know, the tenants are going to be able to pay their rent each month. And so we would like to see changes so that folks can rent wherever they want as long as they can pay with a lawful income source.
Right. I think I've read that in other states, landlords kind of have to take a qualified tenant regardless of where their income comes from. Is that right?
It varies by state, but there's certainly a trend nationwide to make that illegal, to prohibit source of income discrimination so that renters have a choice where they want to live. They can choose, you know, they're not pushed out to unsafe neighborhoods because of how they're paying their rent.
Okay, I have a question for our listeners. Are you behind on rent because of the pandemic and need help finding aid? Call 277-5866 or email us at letstalk@kunm.org to see what aid our guests can tell you about. And we'll go ahead and pivot to that right now. I'm going to introduce our next guest, Henry Valdez. He's the spokesperson for the New Mexico Department of Finance and Administration. That's the department working to get those federal aid dollars out to renters in need. Thank you so much for joining us, Henry.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Sure. Last month, New Mexico received something like $170 million to help people who've fallen behind to kind of pay outstanding rent and utilities. Tell us what it takes for folks to get that funding. How long does it take?
Yeah, so we have $170 million of federal aid to give to New Mexicans who are experiencing financial difficulties due to COVID-19. We will pay up to 12 months of back or utility bills that are owed, but we will also pay 3 months into the future. And I think that's very important and a big distinction from other programs. This is obviously it's geared to help those that are behind in rent, so that way they can stay in their home and not be evicted. But it also will help people that have been making some hard decisions or borrowing money from family or doing whatever it is that they need to do to pay rent. We still want to assist them. So we're also offering 3 months of future rent. So the timeline to your question, the timeline is it's getting quicker. When we first opened, we had a rush of applicants, and a lot of them were, in fact, most of them were incomplete applications or missing documentations. We had a lot of struggles of getting landlords to submit W-9s to us because this program is geared based off of federal guidance. So we needed to pay landlords directly. That's like the priority number one. The second one would be like we'll pay tenants or we'll pay the applicant directly to them, but to kind of like avoid any kind of audit situation, it's best if we can pay the landlord. So for a while, we weren't really getting the W-9s that we needed and kind of created a little bit of backlog, and we're working through that. So the timeline, the turnaround time on applications is shrinking. It's definitely going to be within a few weeks right now as we're kind of working towards them, and we are still doing kind of a first-come, first-serve situation, which kind of is involving working through a lot of incomplete applications or applications missing documentations that we need to follow up on.
I guess a good follow-up question is, who qualifies for this kind of aid?
So the first and kind of most important distinction is that this program is for renters, for New Mexico renters. So you need to be living in New Mexico and have a renting obligation in New Mexico. So that doesn't necessarily mean that you have a lease. We've noticed that a lot of people in New Mexico kind of have verbal agreements, or perhaps they're even paying cash to their landlord and they get paid cash. And this program doesn't exclude them. So it really is like you need to be a New Mexican, you need to be living in New Mexico and be paying on a rental dwelling. There is an income verification for it, so it is for low to moderate income, and we have those distinctions on our website. And so I encourage people to go to renthelpnm.org. Again, that's renthelpnm.org. Go to the FAQ. There's a section in there that you can click on and see those income requirements.
Okay. And just to be clear, then, this is aid for people who are behind on rent and bills, right? Not just those who are vulnerable but have been able to keep up for now.
Well, it's for both, right? It's for people that owe back rent and utilities, and for people that just kind of need some help, right? And so that's why we wanted to make sure that we could help people get back on their feet. And so we will pay up to 3 months into the future. But yes, it is geared towards people that owe rent. And in fact, we've had a number of applicants where we paid a whole year of rent for them. Huh. Right. So they were in a dwelling. I spoke to one woman that unfortunately she has long haul COVID. So her symptoms are continuing and they're not going away. And that made her kind of, she had to leave her job. She She wasn't able to pay rent for a really long time. Her landlord was kind of pushing towards the eviction stages. Thankfully, we were able to pay back a year of rent for her to kind of help her kind of, you know, deal with her long-haul COVID, take care of her kids, and then hopefully eventually be able to find the employment needed to pay rent on her own.
Okay. When I asked you earlier about who qualifies, I was thinking about barriers that might get in the way of people accessing the funds. And I'm wondering then, is there a citizenship requirement? Do you have to be current on taxes? That sort of thing?
No, there is no citizenship requirement. We do not require a Social Security number. And that's been something that is, you know, this program is very flexible. There are obviously some guidelines that we have to follow based off of the federal government. But no, you do not need to be a U.S. citizen. You do not need to be up on taxes. We do ask that, you know, if for some people, they work for themselves, they do, you know, they're in the gig economy or they're, you know, a contractor. So, you know, having a tax form is the best way to verify your income. And so that could be a document that you provide to us, but it's not a required document, right? There are a number of documents on our website that people can look through that list. You don't need all of them. You only need the ones that pertain to your application, that back your claim that you are having financial hardship due to COVID-19.
What about other barriers like language? Are the applications available in Spanish? And, you know, Albuquerque has a large Vietnamese population.
Yeah, so we have both the application is in English and in Spanish, and we do have a paper application in Vietnamese that people can request. We also, anyone can call our toll-free number that is 1-833-485-1334. Again, it's 1-833-485-1334. And we have a call center that has interpreters in a variety of languages. So really, we know that languages could be a barrier, and so we're trying to navigate that as best we can. We are also working with a number of nonprofits that are helping people directly, right? They're walking through people through, you know, with a laptop and helping them in filling out their applications. And there's a nonprofit in Taos and Santa Fe and Albuquerque all over. And we're gonna list those onto our website so that way people can kind of go to them and get some help filling out their application.
Okay, and people can find those or will be able to find them on the Department of Finance and Administration website, or will that be on Rent Help NM?
Yes, correct. So everyone that is interested in this program should go to renthelpmm.org.
Okay. We have an email from AJ. He says he got a very surprising $1,500 bill for property taxes. He wants to know if there are resources to help with property taxes. What do you think, Henry? This might be out of your wheelhouse.
So I will say, so we just launched a pilot program for homeowners. So the Homeowners Assistance Fund is the mirror program for ERAP, for the Emergency Rental Assistance Fund. The Mortgage Finance Authority is administering that program on our behalf. Mm-hmm. Right now they have a $1 million pilot program that they will run for six months. After that concludes, we will kind of package the program and show it to the feds, and the feds will then give us another $52 million. So there will be aid for homeowners, and there's some aid right now, but it isn't, to my knowledge right now, it doesn't cover property tax, but it does cover back mortgage, and when the main program launches, it'll cover home improvement. Right. So if you have like a roof that's in really bad shape and you would be displaced if you didn't get it fixed, this program would give you some money to help get that up to date.
Okay. I think we still have Maria Griego from the New Mexico Center on Law and Poverty. I'm not sure if maybe you could speak to this, but are you familiar with any kind of aid out there for homeowners who have a surprising property tax bill? In many ways, for the homeowner, that's a bill like any other that needs to be paid.
Hi, Kaveh. Yes, I'm still here. Unfortunately, I am not aware of any programs that would help with property taxes, but it's certainly something I'm willing to look into. And I, if I can be connected in any way to the caller, I'd be happy to look into that.
Okay. Yeah, we received that via email, so we can talk about that after the show. Henry, I'm wondering if landlords have to cooperate with tenants to get through the process of receiving rental aid successfully.
Well, you know, I mean, it's best if they do, right? I mean, this is, and that's just kind of in general, right? Like landlords and tenant communication is pretty vital. It's not, you know, by the way that the law is written by the New Mexico Owner and Resident Act, they don't have to be in direct communication, but obviously it is, and especially with this program, it is a. We really see it as a win-win, right? So tenants get to get their rent paid and they get to stay in their dwelling, and then landlords get money that's owed to them. And that's what we're really trying to convey to landlords, that, you know, we're hoping that they kind of see that it's, you know, it's more advantageous to keep that person in your, you know, in your property and get the money that's owed to you rather than start the eviction process. But it is, you know, it's important to note that being evicted for rent that is owed is only one of a variety of ways to be evicted, right? And so there were still people, like even with the moratorium, that were evicted from their dwellings. This program is geared to help those that are behind on rent. So, okay. You know, we're hoping to continue our conversation with landlords, and we have been, and we have... definitely had some more participation in the program. We've gotten more W-9s, and we've had more meetings with larger landlord groups, and so we're kind of hoping that communication continues.
All right, now we may have already touched on this, but I don't think so. The clock is ticking on this funding, right? It was reported that if the money isn't spent quickly, the state will have to return it to the federal government. What are the details?
So right now we are looking at a federal guideline of 65% of these funds need to be allocated by September. So we are, that's the deadline we're working towards. Every state in the country is having difficulties with this program. We're all very surprised of how, you know, kind of it's been a slower trickle than we had imagined and kind of planned for. But, you know, we're really confident. We've been working with the Treasury Department on adjusting, you know, some of these guidelines to help us kind of get the money out the door a little better. We're working at doing a bulk distribution for utilities, and that seems to be going really well. We should have approval in doing that fairly soon. We're also working with bulk distributions for larger property management companies and even with the temporary housing with hotels and motels and those type of temporary housing that kind of came up during the pandemic. We're hoping that we could use some of these funds to just catch people up on their behalf, to where they wouldn't have to apply. But right now, the way it's written is this is geared specifically for tenants, so tenants need to apply. So there's really no way for us to kind of circumvent that. But we are working on doing that, and so hopefully, if those go through, we'll be able to take bigger chunks out of the money and get this, you know, into the hands of New Mexicans, whether they apply or they didn't. We can help them.
Okay, of course, we don't want to lose any aid we can get. And so I'm kind of wondering where we stand. I think you said 65% of the 170-ish million dollars. That's something like $100 million we need to spend by September. Where are we at this point?
So right now we are getting closer to $4 million. We've allocated about I'd have to double check the figures today. Every day we kind of take a bigger chunk out of it, but yeah, I mean, we're obviously not where we had thought, and we do not have the application numbers that you know, we had originally planned for. But we are doing, like, everything in our power to get the word out on this and to get people to apply. We're doing some in-person application events starting in this weekend, actually, in Albuquerque. And then we're going to start to do those probably about once a week. And hopefully, you know, people can just show up, have some of the documentation that they need, and then we will literally fill out the application for them.
Now, if somebody's listening right now and would like to attend those events this weekend, how do they find them?
So the one going on is that event in Albuquerque for the June 19th.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have people there every day. So anyone can kind of come up and they will be able to fill out the application and have someone assist them. We are in talks with different groups in partnering in some of the food bank drive-throughs that are happening every week. Hopefully we can have someone there to, so people can just drive up, get the aid that they need, and then also fill out the application.
Okay. Now, we talked a little bit about landlords earlier. I'd like to bring in another voice. This is Chuck Sheldon joining the conversation. Chuck is CEO of property management company TNC Management and also past president of the Apartment Association of New Mexico and current chair of the association's Government Affairs Committee. Thanks for being with us this morning, Chuck.
Thank you for having me on the line. Conversations are interesting so far.
I'm wondering if you can give us an idea of how many renters in New Mexico have fallen behind on payments during the pandemic.
That's very difficult for me to answer on how many in New Mexico. I can say that we have 2,000 residents, and of those, you know, we have about 300,000 in unpaid rents, and it represents about 150 tenants.
And that's with TNC Management.
That's with TNC Management.
Okay. A lot of people, did you say $300,000 in missing?
Correct.
Wow. Okay. A lot of people aren't necessarily sympathetic to landlords when renters on the other end are potentially facing homelessness. Most landlords aren't just faceless entities, though. Who are New Mexico's landlords?
Well, New Mexico is made up of many, many small investors. The average ownership is 10 units per owner in New Mexico. You have some very large owners that come in, you know, but that's a small number of people. And the majority are local people that own properties, you know, that their mother left them a house when she passed away. Now they rent it, or they bought another house, moved up, and they rent it. You know, those make up a great deal of single family residences. And then you have people that have purchased investments that are fourplex or two fourplexes. And so that's kind of the cross section of owners in New Mexico.
Okay. I have a question for our listeners. Do you have a landlord that worked with you when the pandemic caused you to come up short on rent? Give us a call at 277-5866 or tweet to us using the hashtag #LetsTalkNM to tell us about your experience. Now, Chuck, what kinds of things are you hearing from property owners about the stress put on them by the eviction moratoriums?
Well, the stress has been that you don't have enough money to maintain the properties because there's no income. And, you know, you're falling behind and the taxes are due, you know, utilities are due, water bills, you have to continue to pay. And so there's a tremendous stress on being able to maintain the properties without any income. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's been a topic that's been avoided. So people, in fact, have been on a thread of losing their properties.
Okay. Let's talk about the federal funding that's available to get renters caught up on past due bills. That's what Henry Valdez was just speaking of a moment ago. Are landlords motivated, in your experience, to help tenants get the money?
My gosh. Yeah, you know, I can speak for myself first person, and I'll speak for others. Mm-hmm. You know, to have $300,000 out in revenue, that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we're motivated to help people get that. And we've set up teams to go and contact the tenant in English and Spanish. And all of our people are bilingual, and get people help set them up. The city is hired Kadisha Bottom to help people fill out the forms and the applications and apply. So we've made a concerted effort to contact that 150 people and talk to them, get them support to be able to do this. It benefits us to get to the state and be able to get money. Now, the difficulty we're having is that when there was an issue brought up that they have to income qualify, there was no requirement by the CDC when we had to take and keep people that they were income qualified. It said you have to maintain these people in their homes. Many people decided not to pay rent or lost their jobs or didn't have the capacity. So now we're faced with organizations not seeing that the tenants qualify, and that means that that is going to fall directly on the landlord. And that's the difficulty that people are having right now, is not being able to work themselves through this morass of regulation.
Okay, let's go to Henry Valdez from the Department of Finance and Administration on this. Henry, what do you think about these obstacles that Chuck has seen in people accessing money?
Chuck is you know, he is correct. You know, those are a lot of challenges that we're finding, right? Is like, how do we get tenants to see the benefit in the program? And for some, it's been a bit of education, right? So that way they could understand the moratorium, that it doesn't just waive rent. That it really is just a placeholder, and that it'll eventually go away. And so they will still owe that money. And so we're hoping that, you know, that we can get them to apply. But right now, as the guidance is written, there is an income qualification. You know, we obviously wish that was, you know, perhaps a little higher, so that way we could have a bigger net. But, you know, as even with that, there are still a number of tenants out there that are going to be eligible for eviction. And hopefully we can get to them before. Right now we're working with the courts, you know, with state courts and municipalities, and getting the eviction list every week. And we're reaching out to both the tenant and the landlord to let them know about these funds. But to get back to your question, you know, Chuck is right. Those are obstacles, and we're hoping that as this program unfolds, that there is some leniency in the guidelines. Right now, the 3-point line is a little further than we'd hope. But if we can move it 5 or 8 feet forward, then we can definitely hit some more baskets.
Okay. Henry, we got a caller who doesn't want to come on the air live because she's afraid of retribution from her landlord. She says she applied in April and mailed a copy of her application to DFA. She has not received any word. The hard copy application was not processed timely, and they could not give her a response. So it sounds like her application's in a pile with other apps, and they told her there were 10,000 applications they're trying to process. Is this a lack of staff? Are you guys trying to staff up to catch up?
No, we've hired a ton of staff. I imagine, you know, without knowing the specifics, it's probably it's an incomplete application. There's some missing documentation, and so that has kind of created this big pile where staff has to go through, rather than taking a complete application, you know, with all the correct information, with the documentation that shows that they owe rent or shows their financial hardship, and then having the landlord's W-9, you know, that's a very streamlined process that we can navigate fairly quickly. But there is a bit of a backlog and incomplete applications that we have to go through. We have to figure out, okay, what does this person need? What is this person missing? And then we have to reach out to them, which can really delay it, honestly, because now we're in a tug of war in terms of getting into contact with people. So without knowing the situation, that would be my guess based off of the norm on that. But okay. We're still working through that, and we're hiring staff specifically just to do that.
All right. We only have about 1 minute left. I have a last question for Chuck. In an op-ed you wrote in the Albuquerque Journal last week, you said there were tenants getting assistance but not using the money to pay overdue rent and bills. I'm sure it happens, but how common is it? Is there a way to put a reliable number on this?
No, I'm not sure that I'm being quoted correctly.
Okay.
when you say they're getting assistance.
Maybe I misunderstood.
Yes, sir. If they're getting help, you know, then they're paying their rent, and the agencies are sending us checks.
Okay. So
I want to give them credit. You know, I've been pretty vocal on being hard on them, but you know, when they help, we get the check, and then we help the tenant. I think that what I'd like to see us do is work with the state and help them process these applications. So then we could have a group, and we got the apartment association tied in.
I'm so sorry, Chuck. I have to cut you off. We're out of time. We always wish we had more time or another hour to keep the discussion going. Thanks to everyone who called in, and thanks so much to our guests, Maria Griego, Henry Valdez, and Chuck Sheldon. If you've been listening today and thinking, what about people who can't pay their mortgages? You can join the Santa Fe Housing Action Coalition on Facebook today at 5:30 for an info session on the state's Emergency Mortgage Assistance Program. We'll keep covering housing on KUNM, but please keep sharing your thoughts on Twitter, #LetsTalkNM, on Facebook, search for KUNM Radio, or email us, letstalk@KUNM.org. If you missed part of the show, we'll have audio up on our website soon, or subscribe to our podcasts. Our engineer this morning is Marino Spencer, Megan Kamrick handled the phones, and Ty Bannerman is our executive producer. I'm Kaveh Movahed. This is Let's Talk New Mexico on 89.9 KUNM.